Good morning. We have one announcement, and that is that next Sunday is our beloved Flower Communion. And we ask that you bring a live plant, a blooming, some kind of flower or an herb. Small, please. If you forget, or if you don't have one available, no matter, we'll have plenty, and we'll have a wonderful service. God of many names, Spirit of life, Spirit of humanity, we are endowed by our very nature with the inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let us remember this day that in this country there is no national religion, no superior race or chosen language, no preferable gender orientation. We gather holding common value that the glory of this country rests first and foremost in its diversity. Out of many ideas, out of many beliefs, out of many views, out of many voices and passions, out of many experiences, let us be one. Come and let us worship here together today. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor. This chalice burns with twin flames. The first flame burns for those who seek and defend the right to a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, so that each person may live according to conscience in a democratically elected society. The second flame burns for the defenders of freedom, working against those who would impose their own religious beliefs on others through intimidation or legislation. May we tend this fire always, ever vigilant and courageous in the struggle for freedom and justice for all. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing our first hymn, number 162, Gonna Lay Down My Sword. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with a spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Sue Andrews, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. We are a welcoming congregation. We are each and every one of us welcome here. As we heard in the opening words, no matter what boxes we check on the census, we are welcome here. No matter what our beliefs, views, voices, passions, or experiences, we are welcome here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in the social hall after the service. And stop by the welcome table for more information about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming activities, and we hope you join in. like and follow Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook, and you'll be rewarded with nifty posts. Our webpage, lcuuc.org, is a great resource for information on services and events and other useful information. Please take a moment at this point in the service to make sure you have muted your communicators. And again, welcome. We are so very pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us today.
One of the ways that we help to take care of the community around us is by contributing to the food pantries, both financially and by collecting non-perishable food items that we donate each month. So if you've brought something today, please bring it forward or have a child bring it forward for the basket. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. So today, we're going to talk about a guy named Richard Kirtland. And you've probably never, ever heard of him. Richard Kirtland was a sergeant in the 2nd Regiment of the South Carolina Volunteers in the Civil War. That means he fought for the South. So for any of you all where your families are from this area and have been here for a very long time, he would have been the bad guy, the enemy. So let's think about that for a minute. This guy was on the other side in the Civil War. He fought for the South. And back then, there was a big battle at a place called Fredericksburg. And men went to war because people from the North wanted there not to be slaves. And people from the South did want there to be slaves. And there are a lot of other reasons, but that's the simple one. And so they fought at a place called Fredericksburg. And the battlefield that day ended up being the size of this church, pretty darn close. So imagine this in your heads. There was a big stone wall over here, and all the guys from the North were over here. There was a big stone wall over here, and all the guys from the South were behind it. And that stone wall was a little bit higher than this table. So they were lined up and they were shooting at each other. And men would jump over the wall and run toward the other side, and a lot of times they would get shot and they would fall down. And they'd been fighting for 8 hours. It was very hot. It was in the middle of the summer. And so Richard started to get upset because he could hear people who'd been shot crying. He could hear grown men who'd been wounded in the fighting. And they were in a space as big as this church in between, laying on the ground, and they were crying because they were hot and they were hurt and they wanted a drink. And they were calling out for help, except there weren't any EMTs yet. There was no police. There were no firefighters. There was nobody to come help. And even though Richard was a soldier in a war, and even though some of these men were his enemy, he thought this was a bad thing. He would have been a great Unitarian. He thought this was a really bad thing. So he said to his commander, "Let me get up over the wall and take him a drink of water, please." And his commander said, "How will the other guys know to stop shooting?" "No. You'll just get shot as soon as you stand up. As soon as your head comes above this wall, you're going to get shot." And he said, "Sir, I can't. I have to do something. Let me give them water." And so what he did, I want you each to feel how heavy this is. Can you all feel that? Pick that up. That's heavy, isn't it? What do you think? Come here, you guys. Pick that up. See how heavy? Watch it. Try it. See how heavy that is. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? And for you all, too. This weighs what a Civil War canteen would have weighed full. So that's no joke. These are heavy. He collected them from all the guys near him on his side. He didn't just take one of these. He took 22 of these on straps, hung around his neck and on his arms, and he climbed over the wall. And he climbed over the wall with people firing bullets at him and screaming. And he didn't just go to his guys, the guys wearing his uniform. He climbed over the wall carrying 22 of these, and he went to everybody that was hurt and laying on that field. Everybody in a room the size of this church. And he didn't just do it once. After he gave everybody he could a drink from what he had, there were more people. So he went and he got more water, and he climbed over the wall, and he did it again. And both sides were shooting when he started. But when they saw what he was doing, that he was giving everybody a drink, not just his guys. First one stopped firing, and then another one, and then another one. And then these guys stopped firing. Then they all started to put their guns down. And they stood there. He was the only one brave enough to get in between. And then he went and did it a third time. He gave water to soldiers who were hurt for an hour and a half, with guys from both sides pointing guns at him. But he made sure everybody had a drink. He fixed their clothes if he could, if they'd been shot. If there was anything he could do, he put a little bandage on as much as he could. Made sure their head wasn't on a rock. Made sure they were as comfortable as they could. But not just his own guys. He did that for both sides. And by the time he was done, the men laying there had stopped calling for help because they had help. They had water. He'd washed their faces. He had relieved all of the wounded, and he made it back over his wall without being hurt, and he waved to the enemy, and both sides started shooting again. You can do the right thing at any time, even when you're in a terrible situation, even when you have to fight. The North had to fight to help free the slaves. But even in the middle of a terrible battle, this guy did the right thing. You can always make the right choice. So thank you guys for listening to my story today. And we are doing joint RE today. Everybody's going to be in the social hall. If it warms up or gets a little nicer, they may go outside. So if you're missing your child, they're in the social hall or outside with the teachers. So if you all would help me sing the children in their classroom in just a second, let me get my lantern bearer. And I stood up. All right, you come this way. May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. And if you would all help me sing them out. A soldier, a sailor, an airman, and a marine got into the obvious argument about which branch of the service was the very best. In fact, the argument got so heated that they didn't see the bakery truck as it came around the corner and took all four of them out. Soon they found themselves standing at the gates of heaven, and there they met St. Peter and said, "All right, Pete, you decide. Which branch is best?" St. Peter said, "I can't answer, but I will ask God what he thinks the next time I see him. Meanwhile, thanks for your service and welcome to heaven." Sometime later, they saw Pete again on the street and said, "Hey, did you ever ask God about that?" And St. Peter said, "Oh, I forget. Hold on a minute. Hey, God, which branch of the service is best?" The heavens opened a little more, and a dove came down, all covered in glowy golden light. He had a note. St. Peter opened the note, and it said, "Memo from the desk of the Almighty. To all former soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marines, subject which service branch is best. Answer, all branches are honorable and noble. Each serves America well and with distinction. And serving in the U.S. military represents a great honor, warranting special respect and tribute and dedication. Always be proud of that. Warm regards, God, U.S. Navy retired. Hoorah!" The morning offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share together as a community our joys and our concerns. Before the service, you're always welcome to silently light a candle for those things that you don't want to speak aloud. During the service, we speak aloud and we light candles together. So would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand. And our ushers will bring you a microphone.
Good morning. My name is Eric. Please light a candle of joy for the vote in Ireland.
I'm proud of my Irish heritage. My name is Sheila, and I was not able to bring something of one relative who was in the service. But I'm thinking today of my Uncle Bill Sullivan. He was a pilot, but he had the job. He flew solo ahead of the bombers, and his job was to take out the ground guns. And he was a very emotionally wounded man the rest of his life, but we didn't really know until we were adults what PTSD was. So blessings to him.
This is John. A candle of concern for my two parents. My mom was in a car accident just over a week ago and is recovering from a broken hip and some broken vertebra. And my dad just had biopsies and was diagnosed with cancer.
My name is Sarah. I wanted to share a joy after two stints in rehab for alcohol addiction and controlled substances. My baby brother graduated with honors, summa cum laude, from Northern Arizona 2 weeks ago. and he gets to start his master's program in September.
I want to share a joy. If you remember, about a year ago, my neighbor died, and I missed her so much, and she was ultra-conservative, and she always told everybody, even though we're on opposite sides, we get along real well, and we laugh together a lot. Well, I just met the new neighbors who just are moving in. They're a young couple. They're wonderful. They're friendly. They have no children yet. They're cohabitating at this point, I guess. But on top of it all, they're ultra-progressive. Something, and they've been already invited to go over and share in their fire pit.
My name is Helen. Please light a candle for my baby brother who turns 45 on what was used to be the Memorial Day, May 31st. It changed the year after he was born. It changed in 71. So he'll be 45. He has two boys, and one of them is just like him. So we did celebrate his birthday and my other brother's retirement yesterday. At the age of 64, he'll be retiring. But my dad served 27 years in the Air Force and then also served as Allegheny County Director of Emergency Government. So the training he received also served us as civilians.
My name is Claire, candle of joy, although it was kind of bittersweet. My late grandmother always loved the chickadee birds, and every morning she'd go out and she'd see the chickadee and she'd say, "Hello, chickadee." And coincidentally enough, this morning the chickadee was the first voice I heard early this morning, and it just brought a smile to my face.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those concerns that are deeply held, but which have not been named here. Our community and our church could not exist if it were not for the members who make up our congregation. Today, we're welcoming 11 new members who have joined us in Beloved Community. I'm going to call the names, and if you are here, I ask that you join me up here. So this is our formal welcome for Quentin and Liza Watson, who have been with us on and off for over a year now. Joan Rankin. Scott and Christy Bowden. Ubaldo and Rebecca Nieves, Matt and Heidi Peterson, and Lucy and Tony Glasser. So if you're here, come on up, and if I could have Al Haskell join me. I'm going to give you these to hang on to. All right. I'll give you each one of these to hang on to. Here in this church, human beings have gathered seeking a higher purpose and a deeper life than any of us could find alone. We are grateful for each one of you that you've found your way here, that you've decided to make a commitment to this faith community. And we hope that as new members of this church, you will allow yourselves to know and be known, to minister to and to be ministered unto, to love and be loved by this congregation. The relationships we form in our church are based on the needs of the soul, needs that render each of us vulnerable and reliant on each other's grace and goodness and generosity of spirit. As members of this church, we pledge to be guardians of each other's spirits, to respect the ultimate privacy of each one's human struggle, and to believe in each one's inherent dignity.
Hello, I'm Al Haskell. Challenging for some of the members, I am representing the membership today and the membership committee. I'd also like to say that I'm here body and soul for the children of this church who are equally important as the adult members. So as we come together, we recognize that each member makes a contribution to our religious organization to support the life and the work of this community financially and through the gifts of time and talent. And together, we make this a vital and dynamic congregation. We're working for positive change in ourselves and in the world, and I am so pleased that you all have joined us and chosen to make LCUUC your spiritual home and make our community greater in caring and support for one another.
A member of a UU congregation makes a free choice to join their life with that of the religious community. And if you standing here with me now are ready to affirm that choice, please repeat the words listed on the sheet you have in front of you. And we'll just do that in unison. I am ready. I will do my part to maintain the ongoing life and work of this congregation. I pledge to build relationships of mutual trust and respect, community, and to work toward the congregational well-being, service, and all that I do here.
So it is the joy and duty of our congregation to welcome all of you into this community of faith. Would the members of the congregation present today please read in unison the words of covenant and welcome included in your order of service.
We welcome you among us, and we invite you to join us in the life and work of this community. In the bonds of fellowship and love, we unite to cultivate reverence, to promote spiritual growth and ethical commitment, to minister to each other's needs and to those of humanity, to celebrate the sacred moments of life's passage, and honor the holiness at the heart of being.
As symbols of this welcome, we offer you the right hand of fellowship, and we have a new member packet for you. We're so very glad you're here.
Thank you all so much.
Remembering Well by Paul S. Sawyer. The first time I ever played taps was at summer camp when I was 10 years old. That was the year I started playing trumpet, so I can only imagine how it sounded. I know there was no way I could have hit the high note near the end. The first time I played taps in honor of those who died was in high school, when I was contacted by the local Legion commander. He asked if I would mind occasionally being called on to play taps at graveside services for veterans. I agreed. For the next couple of years, when there was a need, I would take my place with the Legion Honor Guard. wait for the three volleys of shots to ring out, and play the simple 24 notes of taps as clearly and as best I could. Each time, the Legion commander would quietly slip me a $10 bill. And that's about all that taps meant to me for a while. It was easy to do. It got me out of school, and I earned a little money. Then one day that changed. The man I was called upon to play for that day was the father of one of my Boy Scout leaders. Back then, like most adults I knew, I thought my assistant scoutmaster was pretty old. But his father was a World War II veteran, so now thinking back, that means that both my leader and his father were relatively young, too young for their places there that morning as the honored dead and the grieving son. That day, as I began to play taps, this man, who I knew as wise and kind and relatively hard in the old boy, Boy Scout, wilderness leader sort of way, fell to his knees, overwhelmed with tears. I'm not sure how I made it through the whole piece that day, but after that I thought I might never be able to play taps again. Today, whether I'm playing it or hearing it, taps means something close to what it once meant for the reasons it was written and originally used. Once upon a time, taps was a signal that the camp was relatively safe. It meant that you were not under siege or attack of any kind. It meant that you were reasonably sure there were no enemy soldiers to worry about, at least a bugle call's distance away. I didn't know that story or that sentiment all those years ago when I played taps for pocket money in the local cemetery. But in that meaning of taps, something speaks to me in my heart and soul about dying, and for those of us who remain, about remembering well. Here ends the first reading.
Spirit of Life, we enter into this season of Memorial Day surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. We remember first of all the people who are currently serving in the armed forces, and we pray for their safe return. We also acknowledge that there are those who will not return as we grieve their passing. We pause to honor their service and their sacrifice. We also pause this hour to give thanks for all those who have served in this nation's armed services. For those of us who have not served, we cannot fully imagine the experience of war. But we do know war's aftermath and the toll it takes on the human heart. This day remembers and acknowledges loss, and so do we remember those who we have loved and lost. We hold their names and their faces in our mind's eye. We recall the gifts they gave to us through the strength of their being and the depth of their love, the courage of their dying and the fullness of their living. In the holy quiet of this hour, their names surround us, and they live with us in blessed and honored memory. May we remain together in silence as a tribute to all that they have meant to us. Amen.
This is a musical tribute to those who served in the armed forces. Not only those who died in the service of their country, but to all who served. If you wish to, you can please stand when you hear your branch's song played. Or if you didn't serve, perhaps you want to stand if you hear the music of the branch of a loved one or anyone who was a significant person in your life. You can stand in their honor. Army. Marines. Coast Guard. Navy. Air Force. And please, also remember and honor those who we haven't mentioned, police, firefighters, emergency workers, all who serve their country.
Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 164, One More Step, 168, excuse me.
Memorial Day has always been a challenging holiday for me. As you may have noticed by my bobbing up and down during the memorial piece, my family has served in every branch other than the Coast Guard. So it's always been a challenge because there's always someone to remember. The United States was founded in 1776. And as most of you realize, it was born in the smoke and fire of battle. We fought the Revolutionary War with England, and our first breath as a country was used to spit defiance at our unwilling British parent. It shouldn't really surprise you then to learn that in the 239 years since this country was founded, it has been at war somewhere for 222 years. Since the founding of our nation, 21 years where we could say completely, we are at peace. We are not at war anywhere. Now, there's plenty of room to quibble about with that. We've had hot wars and the Cold War. Wars against Native Americans spanned decades, one tribe after another. We had a civil war. We've invaded Mexico, Panama, Haiti, and Guatemala. We fought in the Yom Kippur War for Israel. We had wars of colonization as we tried to take and did take Florida and Texas. Two world wars, Korea, Vietnam. We all know those weren't wars, right? CIA proxy wars in Afghanistan and Nicaragua, the Gulf War, the Iraqi conflict, Kosovo, the war on terror in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan, the Libyan civil war, the war on terror in Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. Sound familiar? And currently the civil war in Ukraine. According to David Swanson in the June 2014 issue of the American Journal of Public Health, the U.S. is responsible for 41% of the world's, not the country, the world's total military spending. 41%. The next largest are China with 8.2%. Russia with 4.1%, and the U.K. and France at 3.6% each. If all military costs are included, the U.S. spends $1 trillion a year to maintain the military. We maintain 700 to 1,000 bases or sites in more than 100 countries. Swanson goes on to say, back at the turn of the century, of the 19th century, Great Britain adopted a two-power standard. So they decided their Royal Navy had to be equal to the combined strength of the next two largest navies. Sounds like a smart move. The United States has more than doubled that spending standard. We have adopted a total power standard. We spend more and have a larger military than the rest of the world combined. As you may have noticed when the song was played this morning, this touches most of us. It means we have friends and family, our children, our parents. We're connected to those who've served. Because we are a nation almost always at war, because we are a nation with such a massive military involvement, we have always had warriors. Army and Navy, Air Force and Marines, people who have sworn to serve and defend this country, even at the cost of their lives. And with that, conscientious objectors and Quakers, Unitarian Universalists in some cases, people who have fought in other ways to find non-military answers to violent questions. People who joined and served in the field as chaplains and medics. People who died in those roles at times. We don't really have a day to honor the police and the firemen. But I would suggest that many of them die in the service just the same. And despite the current problems with American policing, many of them are good people. Most of them are good people. The police, firefighters, members of the National Guard, the Civilian Air Patrol, the Coast Guard, people who risk their lives daily here in our country to uphold laws, to maintain public safety, people who die in service. Sometimes it's hard to understand why people sign up to fight in wars, or to risk their lives to protect others. We're far enough away now that we remember people coming home from Vietnam were spat on and called names. Men and women returning from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan suffer in underfunded VA hospitals. Soldiers and sailors and airmen have record levels of homelessness and depression and addiction. Their families live on food stamps and government assistance, and yet more sign up every year. Some do it because they like the educational benefits of the job training. Some because they don't know what else to do, or because they live in grinding poverty and have no other real choice. But many, many have a call that they feel like they must answer. And some of those who answer are paying the ultimate price, sometimes in ways which seem senseless or in places that many of us feel they never should have been. And so we have Memorial Day, a day of picnics and barbecues, a day to decorate our graves, a day of fireworks, a day of watching combat veterans put out signs that say, "Please, no fireworks, PTSD." A day to remember all those who fell fighting. And it's funny, when I ask people, where did Memorial Day come from? I'm surprised, because some people do realize it used to be called Decoration Day. They remember that much. And I say, yes, but where did it come from? Who came up with this incredible, great idea that we do need to honor and remember and hold sacred those who fell? The Civil War ended in April of 1865. On May 1st that same year, former slaves gathered together at the Washington Racecourse in Charleston, South Carolina, and celebrated the first Decoration Day. The end of the war, that racecourse had been a prison camp, a Confederate prison camp. And there had been a mass grave for the Union soldiers who died while working there. Or who died while working there as prisoners. As soon as the war ended, literally, as soon as the war ended, these black people, these people who had been property days earlier, these people got together. No one told them to do this. No group of white people said, "Hey, we need you to do this job." These former slaves got together on their own. They sent word house to house. And they went to that mass grave of those Union soldiers, those soldiers who fought for their freedom. And they dug it up. It had been there for a while. This wasn't brand new. This was where they were putting the bodies from the camp. In the Carolina spring heat, they dug up the grave and they separated those bodies. And they cleaned them. And they arranged them. And they went out and they dug each one of them their own grave. And they saw them buried properly with respect. These people who were owned not 2 weeks before, they went out and they dug these graves. And when they got done, they didn't stop there. They had a decorative arch made, these people with no money. And they built a wall around this new place that they had made. And they put up the decorative arch when you come in. And they said, "We give you this Union Cemetery." They did the work in under 10 days. And on May 1st, less than a month later, 10,000 black people, with a few whites and a few Native Americans scattered among them, they came back to that race course and that cemetery. There were 2,800 children mixed in among the group. They wanted their children to see. And the adults and children stood and sat together through hours of sermons and singing. And they finished with a huge picnic. These people who had been property less than 2 months earlier. And they called it Decoration Day. In 1868, the celebration was made national and the date was moved to May 30th. They picked that date because it wasn't the anniversary of any battle. They picked that date to honor both sides so that no one could say, this is the day that we won and you lost. It took a few years, but after World War II, the name Memorial Day came into wider usage and the celebration was expanded and eventually moved. And they chose it to honor all those who had died in American wars. It may surprise you, but unlike the Quakers, Unitarians and Universalists have not and do not categorically reject war. We fought pretty overwhelmingly for the North in the Civil War. And the 1918 General Assembly must have been a hoot. If you can imagine this, William Howard Taft presided at our General Assembly that year, the Unitarian General Assembly. William Howard Taft, as in President Taft, he was the moderator of GA that year. Unitarians voted 236-9 to support the entry of the U.S. into World War I. They found it was a righteous and just war. Of course, that was the same year that the American Unitarian Association said that any church whose minister did not support the war effort better not look to them for help. Just as an aside, they didn't apologize for that position until 1936 when they found it to be a little iffy and issued an apology. Vietnam was more challenging and churches split and argued over political involvement and draft dodging and whether to be a peace church or an activist church. And we started to ask ourselves, how do we hold this tension? How do we love and support the people who fight in wars? Even if we don't agree with the war. We don't always get it right. The children's story I told today exemplifies that tension. That young man was 19 years old. No bigger than a boy, really. He was fighting and killing other men who stopped in the middle of the war to make sure everybody got a drink. There are a bunch of versions of the story, some bloodier, some less, but all of them pretty well agree that guy was carrying over 100 pounds of water when he went over that wall. And he didn't just do it once, he did it multiple times, and he kept going back until everybody had water. And the adult version of the story, he arranged broken limbs, he washed faces, he did the best he could with men, some of whom he had just shot. But he made sure they were in as little pain as possible. He did what he could do. He did what was right in the middle of a war to make people free, in which he fought on the wrong side. How do we hate the war and love and honor the warrior? Reverend Dr. John Buren's former UUA president said that since 1973, we've had a large chunk of people in the denomination who do their moral reasoning the way the historic peace churches do, believing participation in the military and the use of violence is never justified personally. Joseph Bruchak, an Abenaki Indian, says the path of war is one of the most perilous roads for a human being to travel. Even the one who goes to battle for a good cause, even when that righteous warrior's aim is the slaying of monsters. They pay a heavy price. My brother Joe served two tours in the desert, almost 8 years. I've seen that price firsthand. But Reverend David Huebner, who retired in 2006 as Director of Ministry and Professional Leadership for the UUA, said of wars like the one in Iraq, "Am I in favor of this war? Hell no. Hell no. Do I want to support the people who are fighting it? Yes. 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 We don't want to demonize them. We don't want to render harm like we did the people who fought in Vietnam. There are no outcasts." Earlier this morning, many of you stood to honor family and friends who served and those who gave their lives, our neighbors, our children. Our government is the body. We elect it. Those who have served are only the hands. They go where the body and brain send them. They do the tasks they were given. Honor the warriors. And if you want the brain to change its mind, vote. Today we honor those who have served. We honor those who died for their call. And those who died because they had no other options. We honor those who fought so that we might continue our own fight for democracy, for justice, for peace, and for freedom. We honor those who have served. Amen. Carry this flame with you. And light the memory of all those who have served and died to defend others. Our closing hymn this week is a Star Spangled Banner. The words are written in your order of service, and Crystal will play the intro on the trumpet before we start singing. This song asks a question that we are called to answer. Does our flag wave over the land of the free? If the answer is no, what are we going to do about it? Please stand in body or spirit and join in singing.
Thank you.
Go in peace and go in love, honoring all those who went before us. Peace, and may it be so.